Take your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll read verses 29 through 35 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for our preacher who's willing to take a stand for right and for truth. Lord, our society has become numb and even at times dumb to the wiles of what the world calls socialness and the liquor that flows. Lord, it's hurt us in many, many, many different ways. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Lord, the devil would want nothing more than to cause someone not to hear the truth today. May we allow the Holy Spirit's presence to control. May we listen and change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
If you came in from Highway 11, you would have noticed two signs out along the road that we posted a couple of days ago. They say, Pastor Owens declares war on liquor. I fear that in our day and age, pastors are so afraid to be considered sin haters that they're afraid to do things like I'm doing today. Well, it's time for some pastors to stop worrying so much about what everybody else thinks and for them to preach the truth. My, oh my, oh my, if pastors cannot stand up and preach against the evils of liquor, that they want to mask it. They really don't want to be offensive. Now, I'm not going to preach what I preach to be offensive, but somebody needs to get mad about what's going on with all the alcoholism and the drunk driving and everything. We shouldn't have to have an organization of mothers to do it when the pastors should have been doing it a long time ago. And I'm for mothers against drunk drivers. You know, I'm glad that they're against the liquor, but it's too bad when a bunch of women have to stand up and do what a bunch of men should have stood up and done a long time ago. There's a truck that's crashed and wrecked right out here. If you came in the south side of our building or the front of our building, you might have missed it. That truck that's wrecked, that's right out here at this north entrance, that truck was crashed this year, New Year's Eve 2006. While we were here in church, somebody was out drinking and driving, and I wonder how many people were killed, maimed, this New Year's Eve, as they brought in the new year with a drunk. Well, I'm against that. I probably come to you today in the way that I do for the sake of our young people, a little more than the sake of our adults. Though, to the adults that are here, there are some of you need to change your ways, or some of you need to change your opinions about alcohol. But to our teenagers, you look at Brother Owens today and pay very close attention. Your preacher loves you. I do not want you to mess up your life. Do not destroy your life. To those of you that are, you came to church on a bus this morning and mom and dad do not come to church here, my intent is not to attack your mom and dad, but I am going to attack liquor. I want every one of you to know that you go to a church that loves you and we care about you, and I do not want you to mess up your life. To the younger children, oh, listen so carefully today. Do not allow the devil to deceive you and to get you involved in one of the most wicked, vile things that a human being can get involved in, and that is the drinking of alcohol. How many of you here would say, Brother Owens, I have been directly affected by alcoholism. I have suffered pain in my family or with friends due to death or retardation from fetal alcohol syndrome. But you say, I have been directly hurt. I've been directly affected by booze in my life. Will you raise your hand? I want you all to look around for a second. You may put your hands down. You know, I am so sorry. May I say, first of all, to a few of you, and Brother Brett, I'm going to go ahead and turn this on, and I'd like to use this microphone. I want to say, first of all, to some of you, this morning and this evening will be a little extra hard on you because you have lost loved ones due to drunk drivers or due to drunkenness. So as a result of this sermon, you'll be reminded of that, and your heart will be extra tender, and you will hurt. I do not do what I do today to make your misery any deeper or to prolong your heartache. I do what I do today to try to salvage somebody else from having to go through the very same heartache and for someone else having to face the very same burden or pain. But my heart goes out to you. I was talking with someone just yesterday, and they seen the truck that we had out here and the signs along the road, and one said to me, Brother Owens, that truck out there, that sure will remind us of what happens when there's drunk driving. And then someone said, I had a sister that was killed by a drunk driver. And yet another said, I live right now with the pain and the scars of a drunk driving situation and drunkenness. And to those of you who will be extra tender, I want you to know I love you and I am your friend. Please hang in there while I try to keep somebody else from going through the same tragedy and heartache that you have faced. I'm not just against drunkenness. I'm against all booze. I'm against it all. Your liberal preachers, they'll get up and they'll say, well, you ought not be getting drunk. I don't think you ought to have alcohol chouse at all. I don't think you ought to drink any of it. I don't think you ought to be sipping on it. I think it's wrong. I think it's bad. Let me tell you how you can tell if you're a liberal. You right now, you don't like what I just said. You say, well, what's wrong with a little bit? Now you'll know that you have a liberal interpretation of what the Bible teaches about alcohol. If you right now are being abused by what alcohol abuses you. It'll take you for everything you're worth. And if you're being abused by alcohol, let me tell you right now, I love you. I am your friend. But I hate alcohol. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. You say, why? Well, maybe I need to tell you why. You see, had everything gone the way it should have, I ought to be a drunk. My grandfather owned a bar where I was raised. My granddad got saved at the last minute. Right before he died, he got saved and he went to heaven. But when I was a little boy, I said, with everything inside me, I'll fight it. Number one, I don't want to be a drunk. And number two, I want to use my life to help people, and I will do everything I can. I will stand up. I'll shout it from the housetop. I'm not going to shut up about it. I'm not going to be quiet about it. It is evil. It is bad. I've watched what it does to people. And I can tell you stories that I don't want to tell you. But I hate it. I hate it. I remember one New Year's Eve. At that time, the church that I was attending did not have what we call a watch night service. I'll tell you what it did. I stayed home that night. I pulled my Bible out and I decided tonight I'm going to do a study in the Bible on liquor, wine. I'm going to do a study on intoxicating drink. I spent about 3 or 4 hours that night doing that very thing. Booze, devil water, hell water, fire water, whatever you want to call it, liquor, whiskey. Wine coolers, and they call it spirits. Well, that's the wrong spirit. And so you know, alcoholism is not a sickness, it is a sin. You may get sick because of the sin, but it is initially a sin. When I first got saved, I started working in the bus ministry. I was a young man. And I remember visiting a couple of young girls. They were about 8, 9 years old, maybe something like that. Their names were Sandy and Karen. Their grandfather was a drunk. They lived in a drunkard's home. I had visited them, so you bus captains know, I visited them for about 3 or 4 years. For 3 or 4 years, their parents wouldn't let them come. I visited them every Saturday for almost 4 years before they got to come to church for the very first time. But when they popped the front door of that house open and I looked inside and I seen how those two teenage girls were living, suddenly, whether or not they rode my bus did not matter to me. I felt like they needed somebody on Saturday to come by and say, "Girls, there's something better than this." Because for 4 years I could not get their grandfather to budge. He was a drunk and he had, you know, every problem you could imagine. Yeah, I wanted him to ride my bus. I wanted him to become a part of an attendance on a bus route, but I wanted more than that. I wanted those girls to know that somebody loved them. Somebody cared about them, and we worked with them, and finally, after about 4 years of that grandfather seeing I would not give up, I was persistent, and he finally let the girls come to church. As the girls worked into their teenage years, my wife and I lived not far from them. I remember one night my wife and I were lying there in our bed, and all of a sudden we had a big box fan, you know, the great, great big box fans, 2.5 foot square, if you will, 3 foot square. We had one of those in our windows, and all of a sudden one night we heard something through the box fan. It sounded like, you know, a ghost or something from outer space. Someone was talking through the fan. You know what it sounds like when you talk through the fan? To add to it, that someone was drunk. It was Sandy. She was crying. She was laying in my wife's flower bed. I mean, sprawled out, laying there. She was drunk, talking through the fan, and she was crying. And I was her youth director at that time, and she called me Brother Jeff, and she was crying. And she said, "Brother Jeff, I got to have help. I'm drunk again. Somebody's going to have to help me." The waver in the fan, it's just so weird. The lights were all out as she lied there drunk, as she'd breathe. You could hear you could smell the alcohol in the fan. She said, "Somebody's got to help me." I remember found her one day, and it had become so rough on her. She didn't live with her mom, didn't live with her dad. She couldn't, because they had taken off and had become drunks to the point they didn't want their daughters anymore, so she lived with her grandmother and her grandfather. Remember one day Sandy decided she would commit suicide because she decided life was not worth living. She had gotten herself drunk and high, took a razor blade, she cut both of her wrists as she stood on top of a train bridge that went over the top of a road beneath. The train on top, the road beneath, she stood there, cut her wrist, and then threw herself off the bridge to hit the pavement below, hoping that that would do the job. It did not. Someone called an ambulance. They came and got her. They called me immediately. It's real sad when a child can't call their mom or their dad because mom and dad are drunks. Those of you that have children know it. To your children, to stay sober and keep the liquor out of your house so you don't destroy your kids. You want to destroy yourself? Go ahead, but leave the kids alone. You got to sober up long enough to at least rear your kids and give them a chance. When the police called me, instead of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa because everybody's drunks, I thought, my, how tragic. They said, "This young lady says you're the one to call." And so all you children know something, and all you teenagers know something. When you need this preacher, all you got to do is call. If it ever gets bad enough and you need Brother Owens, you just call. If they say, "Who can you call? Who will help you?" You just have one name come to your mind. Say, "Brother Owens will help me. Brother Owens will be my friend." I remember I went up to the police station. By the time I had gotten there, one of the sheriffs come out and he said this to me. He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "it's a strange bird you got on your hands here." He said, "She was drunk. She slit her wrist. She threw herself off the train bridge. She splattered on the pavement below. She's all beat up, all bruised up, all cut up, all scraped up." So we went down there to get her. So we brought her in here and we set her in the little room, the clinic. We sewed her wrists up. Said the EMT stepped out. She took the scissors that are used to cut gauze and cut the stitches out. We had to sew her up again. I was taking Sandy home. I said, Sandy, you gotta stop this. She said, you don't understand. You don't understand, she said. You don't understand, she said, when I was a baby, still on the bottle. She said, my mom and dad, to entertain their friends, everybody be getting drunk, and they would, rather than put milk or juice in my bottle, would put beer in my bottle. She said that I'd drink, I'd bounce around and spin, and everybody would laugh. She said, you don't understand. I've been doing this since I was a child. Some of you parents that have it hidden at home for your little social nip, you don't realize your kids are getting into it. That's where some of your kids started their drinking. My mom and dad just keeping a little nip around. Because you don't want to be a drunker, but you just got to get a little high. If not, just ask your kids if they'll tell you the truth. You don't understand. No, I did not understand that. But I did understand some other things because I've seen it. I've been around it. I'm not dumb to it. And to those of you that say, well, Brother Owens, I could never make good of my life. I grew up in a home where alcohol ran freely. Listen, I know a little something about that. And you can make as good of your life as Jesus Christ can make good of it. And He can conquer anything in your life if you let Him. You don't have to be a drunk because your daddy was, or because your mama was, or because your grandpa was, or because your uncle was, or because your brother was. Hey, you can do what you're supposed to do, and I challenge you to do so. Nothing good ever has come from liquor and never will come from liquor. They have what they call the ABCs of liquor. A, it arms more villains. B, it breaks more laws. C, it corrupts more morals. D, it destroys more homes. E, it engulfs more fortunes. F, it fills more jails. G, it grows more gray hairs. H, it hurts more hearts. I, it incites more crimes. J, it jeopardizes more lives. K, it kindles more strife. L, it lacerates more feelings. M, it maims more bodies. N, it nails down more coffins. O, it opens more graves. P, it pains more mothers. Q, it quenches more songs. R, it raises more rebels. S, it steals more virtue. T, it tells more lies. U, it undermines more youth. V, it bails more widows. W, it wrecks more men. X, it excites more passions. Y, it yields more disgrace. And Z, it zeroes more hopes. Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a day and an age where people are drowning themselves in a bottle, and they indeed are killing themselves and those around them. Oh, I beg of you, some of you that you say, well, I know, hey, listen, I wish I could just tell you how many people really end up getting into drugs because they start out with liquor. Oh, what it leads us to. This morning, I'll get nowhere near where I want to go with this sermon. And there's not enough time to say everything that needs to be said. And just so you know, if you can't tell already, I am not a pacifist about it. I'm not trying to be socially acceptable. I want to be right with God. I don't want to be right with people. And indeed, I'd like to be right with people if I can. But if I've got to make a choice, I've got to preach the old black book. I've got to tell it like it really is. Let me tell you this today. We read earlier from Proverbs. Liquor is a liar. It's a liar. It's a liar. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There, the Bible uses the word deceived. Deceived. If you're using liquor, you're deceived. Whether it's wine or beer or hard liquor, whatever it is, you're deceived. Deceived, the Bible says. Promises are made by liquor to the individual that would dare to put the bottle to their lips. Deceived. Liquor says, you don't worry, I will not keep you captive. That's the lie of liquor, because some of you can't quit. Oh, you could, but you got yourself convinced that you can't quit. Why? That liquor comes to you and lies that, oh, I won't keep you for long the minute he gets you. He says you can't leave now. He's a liar. He's a liar in both instances. Liquor comes to you and says, I've got the answer for your depression. Get drunk. I've got the answer for your heartache. Just get drunk. Liquor's a liar. Liquor won't do away with your depression. It'll make it worse. Liquor will not do away with your heartache. It'll make it worse. You say, why? Because you must wake up the next morning and face it all over again. Oh, liquor's a liar. It's a liar. I am so sick and tired of big football teams taking all the money from Budweiser. Those are our role models. You better be careful pumping drunk role models to young people. I'm thinking about this. I've got a little poster here. Brother Guin, grab half of that for me, if you will. There it is. Old Budweiser. We've got football helmets everywhere. What happens, young people, somebody tries to convince you, you drink liquor, that's what a big, tough athlete does. That'll make you a man. Thank you, Brother Guin. That'll make you won't have to roll it up because it's not going to stick around for long. Boy, liquor, hey, just you become a big, tough baseball player. You become a big, tough football player. You drink liquor. Well, I've got news for you. That trash that we watch on television that promotes it to our kids at halftime, if you're not careful, your kids are going to get the idea that we're for that. And that's okay. The NFL better wake up. Better realize we ought to be against it. Young people, listen to me. Anybody that wants to be healthy is not going to drink liquor. It will not make you a better athlete. It's a lie. It's a lie out of hell. It's a liar. Liquor's a liar. You know, liquor, it'll make you acceptable. It'll make you cool. Yeah, it will. It'll make you cool. I don't know, Brother John, how long it takes for a body to be cold in death, but you work down there at Brown's Funeral Home. Those bodies are cold, aren't they?
Yeah.
It'll make you cool, all right. Maybe you'll kill somebody else as you drink and drive. Or maybe you want to be cool. It's fun. Yeah, it is for a little while. Because there's pleasure in sin, but for a short season. That fun has a very high price tag attached to it. Oh, I like this one. I've got a neat sign here. This one is for Miller. Miller Genuine Draft and Miller Lite. And you know what it says here? This is a Christmas advertisement. Who in the world does the liquor industry think they are making their biggest bucks of the year celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? What hypocrisy! That's when some of you tie it on. Well, it's Christmas. Time to get drunk. Better ask Jesus about that, buddy. It's his birthday we're celebrating, and Jesus don't want no beer at his birthday party. On here, this advertisement says, Miller, get more, give more. Liquor takes more. It'll rob you. You know, there's some of you, I could bring you up here, do the advertisements for me. I had to get help. I had to get some people to give me some information about it because I don't know anything about it. And I'm really glad. You watch enough of all the shows that are supported by Budweiser and all the liquor. You are so prone. You could tell me every joke about Budweiser. You could tell it all to me and think, well, it's safe, Brother Owens. There are only commercials. Tell the rest of America it's safe. Tell the the kids that have been killed by drunk drivers that it's safe. Tell the kids that do without. They don't have shoes and they don't have food at home because some mom and dad just pump their head full of that trash. It's safe. No, it's not safe. Good night. What has America done? Liquor brings poverty, according to the Bible. Not only is liquor a liar, it brings poverty. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20 and 21 says, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Here the Bible says we're not supposed to be around the people that are drinking. It says right there. My wife and I, we went to a restaurant one day, and we sat way off to one side. We didn't even really know they serve liquor, but it was one of these where they set other people at your table. We sat down at that table. It was us and I think my daughter and her boyfriend. We sat there to eat, and all of a sudden they set some other people down. And next thing you know, they said, "May we take your drink order?" And these people with us said, "Give us a Miller Lite and give us one of these." We said, "Excuse us. We're going to have to step out. I want to sit there with people drinking around me." Somebody look in there and think I'm a part of that trash. Some of you that think you're role models, do you take a stand against liquor? Or is it socially acceptable to you? Here the Bible says they'll come to poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. There's the word poverty and rags. You know, just the money that you waste by drinking the liquor is bad enough. There are people in this room right now. You can't pay your bills, but you'll go drink a beer. That is crooked. Won't you figure up all the money you spend on your wine and your beer and your liquor? And then you wonder why your wife will probably have to go to the poorhouse when it is time for you to retire. Because you and your buddies had to have a Bud Light. You're some man. Secular college students spend $5.5 billion a year on booze. Go ahead and send your kids off someplace where booze is the main drink. You say, that's not so. Yes, it is, because they figured up how much they spend on juices, milk, water, and pop. And $5.5 billion is more spent than all the other drinks that secular college students drink all added together. Kids go without clothing and food. You know, the U.S. government employees, the U.S. government loses $550 million a year due to alcoholism of their employees because of poor job performance and absenteeism at work. There's some of you. You go out and tie on a drunk, and you don't go to work next day. You wonder why you don't have enough money. Lady sat in my office a couple of months ago, weeping. She said, "Brother Owens, I don't know what to do. I've got a boy to raise. My husband's in jail again for drinking." She said, "I don't know where to live. My boy's not going to get any Christmas again." She said, "Brother Owens, what am I going to do? How can the bottle be more important to him than us?" Poverty. Liquor is a liar. Liquor brings poverty. Thirdly, liquor brings sorrow. The Bible says here in Proverbs 23, verse 29, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow?" What's it talking about? Those that go to the booze. Sorrow. Oh, the sorrow that comes because of the booze. The broken hearts. I so desperately would love to have some people testify, but I don't want to hurt them and I wouldn't want to embarrass them. But I can tell you, I could bring a wife up here right now that could stand and she could tear your heart out in 3 minutes just to tell you what she's been through, the sorrow because of her husband. I was tempted to bring a mama up here and let one godly mama tell you the heartbreak of having a child that is into liquor. Wonder how many daddies have had broken hearts and how many wives and how many mothers. No, could I bring children up here? I could bring grown children. I could bring teenage children up here that could stand behind this pulpit and pour their heart out to you and tell you the sorrow that they face. Young married lady said in my office 2 months ago, I suppose. She said, "Brother Owens, I'm trying hard." She said, "I'm trying hard. You teach us to love our enemies." She said, "It's real hard to love my dad. He's a drunk. And he hurt my mom and he hurt me and my sister." She said, "Preacher, I'm trying real hard. But you don't know what I've been through," she said. "Well, I want you to know something. I think we ought to love you, Daddy. But I hate liquor. Oh, I hate it. I hate every drop of it. Every drop of it. And you don't drink a whole bottle until you've just taken a little drink. I'm against it. Liquor is a liar. Liquor brings poverty. Liquor brings sorrow. It'll tear you apart emotionally. Not only that, liquor brings contention according to the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 29, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions?" That word contentions there, it's talking about the fighting and division and people virtually coming to blows. I wonder how many women would say, "My husband hits me. My husband hits me." I wonder how many women have been hit because a man put a bottle of Budweiser to his mouth. Got him a fifth of Jack Daniels to be his friend, which truly became his enemy, and stole away his brains and fired up his fists, and he hit the one he's to protect. To every lady here, let me say to you, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry if you've ever been hit, you've ever been hurt because of liquor. I want you to feel secure. I want you to know there's somebody, and there is a church that hates this stuff. We hate what's happened to you. We'll do everything in our power to make liquor a sin in Berkeley County instead of entertainment. There's something wrong. And we have plenty of drunks around this county. We've got more than our fair share. So much the more reason why preachers ought to mount the pulpit and preach with some fire and with some grit. Not cower to the liquor crowd and all your social drinkers and your wine sippers. No, it's sin and it's wrong and it brings heartache to families and to people. It brings contention. I wonder how many divorces are the result of the bottle. I wonder how many fights there are in the bars because of liquor. People fight over the stupidest things when they're drunk. Stupid little things. Guy thinks that some guy looked at him cross-eyed, said they beat the holy stuffings out of each other. They don't even know each other. Couldn't even see each other while they were fighting. How they knew he looked at him cross-eyed, I don't know. Fella I used to work with in a machine shop was out of work for about 2 weeks. Everybody said he'd been in a bar fight. He came in. He had pins. He was walking with a walker. They put about 4 pins in his leg. He told me this. He said, "I was so drunk." He said, "This guy, I thought this guy knocked over my motorcycle." He said, "So I went to waylaying on his head." He said, "We fought. This guy," he said, "he knocked me down, virtually knocked me out. When I come to my senses, I got up to fight him again." He said, "Every time I got up, he put me down." He said, "When the fight was completely over, I looked over, it wasn't even my motorcycle." He said, "They drug me to the hospital. I was in surgery for hours." He said, "They told me the guy broke my leg once for every time I got up." He said, "But I didn't even know my leg was broken." He said, "I was so soused. I was so far gone, the man said, every time you get up, I'm going to break your leg again." 4 breaks, 4 times the guy got up. He said, "I had no idea my leg was broken." You don't think liquor will destroy you? It causes contention. Yeah, you'll find this out. You go to your churches where the pastor won't stand up and preach against it. Probably the people that cause the most contention in that church are your wine sippers, your cocktail drinkers, your social drinkers, those that say, well, a little bit won't hurt you. They'll be the ones cause you the most trouble in your church.
Yes, sir.
It causes contention. Cause people to fuss. Wonder how many teenage boys and their daddy have been in a fight because somebody was experimenting with the booze. See, the Bible teaches that liquor is a liar. Proverbs 20, verse 1. The Bible teaches that liquor brings poverty. Proverbs 23, verse 20 and 21. The Bible teaches that liquor brings sorrow. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? The Bible teaches liquor brings contention. It says, who hath contention? The Bible teaches liquor brings worthless and hurtful words from the mouth. It says in Proverbs 23, 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? I wonder how many husbands and wives couldn't get along because somebody was drunk or on the bottle. The fussing. The words. Wonder how many of a wife said this to her husband. I wish you loved me as much as you love that bottle. And then she heard him say, I don't love you. I wonder how those words branded her heart and she never forgot them. I wonder how many drunk parents, while drunk, belittled their kids. So the devil knows I'm real angry about this. It makes me angry. Dear sweet people sit in my office and I try to help them gather the courage to be a success in life. They're good people and they're decent people. And ladies that will sit there and say, Brother Owens, I don't think I can. I don't think I can do this. I say, you can. I know you can. Why do you think that you can't? Lady said to me, all my dad ever said to me is that I was stupid. I was worthless. I was a no count. I said, you can. You can do this. Your daddy was wrong. You're not worthless. You're not a no count. You're not a whore. You're okay. You can do it. Rise up and let God use your life. But I'm telling you, I wonder how many times because somebody was drunk, they belittled their kids, and they virtually knocked the courage of life right out of their kids. How many wives feel useless? How many ladies do not take care of themselves to this day because their husband mistreated them with word while drunk, and the wife finally gave up and said, what's the use? What's the use? Booze loosens the tongue so you can choke other people with it. The rudeness, the crudeness, the vileness of the tongue. See, liquor brings worthless and hurtful words out of the mouth. Liquor brings injury. Very clear. Proverbs 23, 29 says, who hath wounds without cause? I wonder how many cripples there are out there as a result of liquor. April 14, 1865, a drunk decided to shoot a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
Stealing from us a genius of a president. The single largest cause of mental retardation is fetal alcohol syndrome. You ladies, you listen to me and you listen to me well. You have no right to put liquor in your body while you're pregnant or any other time. To think that a child would have to suffer to that degree because you can't control yourself. Hey, if you're going to be a drunk, don't have kids. Spare us all to every little boy and girl that suffer because of that. This will be a church where they will be welcome.
Yes, sir.
We will have a ministry to help little boys and girls, and their minds are not all there. Now, not every child that does not have a full mind, is it due to alcohol? But the biggest cause of mental retardation against among children born today is alcohol. said, Brother Owens, I made that mistake and it's my fault. Now listen, this preacher loves you. I told you earlier, my intent is to keep others from suffering, not to make you suffer. This is not an attack on you. This is an attack on the devil. Liquor, it hurts. It brings injury. From 1982 through 1995, 300,274 people lost their lives to traffic accidents due to liquor. 33% of the suicide rate is directly associated to liquor. You teenagers, look up here at Brother Owens. You look at me, every one of you. You bus kids over here, look up at me. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. It will hurt you. It's not real hard. We've got those people that have no good common sense that'll drive by our property and they'll throw beer cans on our property. You want to know something? We're going to keep on preaching against it. I don't care how many beer cans they throw on our property. There's Bush. The Bushes own that company. Corona. Yeah, there's some Black Velvet Canadian whiskey. A little more Bush beer. Bush must be real popular. There's Bud Light and Coors. Coors Light. Young people, what I have up here, Keystone Light, this stuff right here is trash. It's trash. You say, well, I want to get high and have fun. Let me tell you something. There is no better high than being right with God. I'll guarantee you that. There are people that come to this church and say, you know, I've been looking for something. And, you know, I go down there to that church and we have a pretty good time there. I'll tell you something. Being right with God, having a purity about you, knowing when you wake up the next morning, you didn't kill somebody, you didn't do something wrong. That's a high that you can only experience with Jesus Christ. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to do drugs. You don't have to smoke marijuana. Young people, it's sin, and this stuff will destroy you. It'll destroy you. Hey, some of you teenage guys, come up here for a second. Stomp on those things for me. Go on, come up here. Don't be shy about it. Stomp on them. Stomp them! It's wicked. It's sinful. It's nasty. It's crummy.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, fellas. You did a good job. And that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do. Well, I remember we taught our kids when we were growing up, we taught them they ought not be smoking. My kids could embarrass you so fast. You look over, see my four kids off in a corner somewhere doing this. Stomping. People are thinking, what's wrong with those kids? What a violent way to dance. My kids are over there stomping cigarette butts saying, bad, 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 bad. They think those kids are deranged. Word, 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 bad. My kids would walk down the street. There are enough cigarette butts everywhere. Everywhere they walk. Bad, 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 bad. You know, I'd recommend the next time you see a beer can, your kids are anywhere around, say, attack that thing. Put it out of its misery. We're pacifists, though. We're pacifists. Need to remove that can before a picture is taken. The Bible says liquor irritates the eyes. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29, who hath redness of eyes? You say, why do you think the eyes get red? Of course, it's a physical reaction to the alcohol. But I think some of it's so that you can look yourself right square in the eye and be reminded what you're doing is wrong. Also keeps you from seeing straight. Emotionally and mentally. Tell you what else it causes. It causes tears. Maybe as deep as the river of the alcohol in America is the depth of the river of tears cried by those affected by it. I sat yesterday with someone that sat there with tears rolling down their face. I said, but the ones I'll be rooting for you all day tomorrow. Preach it hard. Preach it straight. You don't know what it's done to me. Liquor, it inflames our lust. Proverbs 23:33 says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall suffer perverse things. Stirs up our passions. Fella told me this. He said, Brother Owens, you tell him. You tell him a fella get drunk and he'll do dumb things. He said, some fella get drunk and he'll sleep with the ugliest woman on the face of this earth and think she's a real babe. Now, fellas, that ought to be enough to scare you out of drinking. Guy said, I woke up one morning, looked over her, and said, I slept with that. Yuck. And for you ugly women, this is your only chance. I have a lot of other things I want to say, but it's just not good. 60% of college women diagnosed with sexually transmitted disease got their disease while they were drunk. Pregnancy out of wedlock, illegitimate children, booze. The inflaming of lust, liquor will get you into lesbianism before you know it. And sodomy before you know it. I wonder how many people were drunk the night they proposed, got hitched, got married. Before they knew it, they were there. And the marriage lasted about as long as a six-pack did. Liquor will pervert you, the Bible says. It says here in Proverbs 23:33, it'll cause you to utter perverse things. You check the world's perverts, you'll find liquor in the background.
Right.
Cause you to do things that you never would have done sober. I was preaching out in Iowa and some young lady had been hired as a babysitter. She'd gotten herself high. Mom and dad were off and away and she was caring for an infant child and giving the child a bath. She thought that she had a great idea while high that the best way to dry that baby off was to put it in the microwave. She cooked that baby to death. Dr. William Osler, famous physician and founder of the Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, ordered a patient to quit his liquor. The patient said, but doctor, it makes me do things better. Nonsense, said Osler, doctor. It only makes you less ashamed of doing things poorly.
Good.
Liquor causes you to put yourself and others in danger. Proverbs 23:34, it says, yea, thou shalt be down in the midst of the sea. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Here the Bible says, you get into liquor, you're going to find yourself like one that has laid down in the middle of the ocean or the sea, or one that climbs up on the mast and tries to lie down on the top of the mast. Liquor causes you to put yourself and other people in a lot of danger. You realize on December 7th of 1941, Pearl Harbor was bombed. Do you understand something? Do you understand that World War II came upon us and they said that when the alarm sounded, so many of our soldiers were drunk, they had a hard time getting their battle stations. Well, thank you for protecting us, drunkard. I think every man here that knows anything about the military would tell you, getting drunk is a sideline. It's just almost expected. Well, they better not make me president of the United States of America because I wouldn't let you pick up a gun to defend this country if you were a boozer. I'd make every one of them sober up and stay sober. We win more wars that way. I'm not running, by the way. 85% of the deaths from cirrhosis of the liver are alcohol-related. Say, what happens? You ever seen someone's skin whose liver has rotted away? I remember when my grandma said, Jeffy, you're going to have to take this money right here. You're going to have to go down to jail and get your Uncle Jack out. I said, Grandma, again? She said, now you take his money and you get him out. He's not really going to be around much longer. That bottle's killed him. And I remember when they closed the lid of the casket of my Uncle Jack because of the booze that he got from my granddad's bar. I remember when my granddad passed away. I remember being down there on Sundays when we'd sweep the bar out. I'd keep any of the coins I could find. I always wondered why my granddad would be at the back door on Sundays. See, used to be America had at least enough sense not to sell liquor on Sundays. Now they'll sell it everywhere. Sad. I think Pennsylvania's got some tougher rules on that. Thank God for it. My grandfather would sit on a little stool at the back door of the bar. He'd hear a tap. He'd kind of look through that screen door a little bit. There'd be a drunk sitting there with money in his hand as my grandfather bootlegged liquor out the back door. Granddad said, you know, Jeff, you're a businessman. You got a business mind. He said, I'm going to leave you the business. I told my grandma, I said, if he leaves it, I'm going to tell you exactly what I want to do. I'm going to shut the bar down immediately. I'm going to start a mission for all the fallen men that as a result of buying beer out of that back door, we will rebuild their lives. Needless to say, I didn't get my inheritance. But I'm going to keep on helping those fallen men. Liquor. Liquor. It'll put you in danger. It'll put others in danger. I was thinking about this. I have a bunch of signs up here. There's so many different kinds of alcohol, and I don't need to go into them all. Well, you've got it shipped over here from Germany. Here's Miller Lite, and here is Beefeater. Is that a beer? Miller High Life. Molson's Canadian. Rolling Rock. St. Ides. Coors Light. Schaefer's, there's some more Budweiser, Amber Rock, Bud Ice. You know, and it's time for some of you to stop laughing at all their commercials. Tell you what, you just trot yourself down to the hospital when some mother is there with a baby that's in a plastic bag because it's already dead and laugh at the beer commercials. Ice House, Smirnoff, Sam Adams. How filthy. We think it's a joke. Liquor will ruin your judgment. Somebody that could climb on top of a mast has pretty bad judgment. To lie down in the middle of the sea, that's poor judgment. You know, I'll recommend something to every one of you. If you have children, I'll tell you what, my wife and I, we used to not shop any place that sold liquor. We'd almost virtually starve today. Everybody sells it. They think it belongs in the grocery store because you got to have it. That's a lie. It is so sad. I'll tell you all, if I were you, if you can do your shopping and not go down the liquor aisle, that's what I'd do. And if you end up down the liquor aisle, maybe you ought to walk through there telling your kids it's bad. Now, if your kids are like my kids, don't cut them loose in that aisle. You have to pay for it all. Man, they'll be throwing it and stomping it and cussing it. And liquor ruins your judgment. Here's somebody that, yay, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of the mast. Huh. Pretty bad judgment. Hey, are you mad at me right now? That'd be pretty poor judgment on your part. Are you busy justifying as fast as you can the liquor that you have at home? Who's got the bad judgment? Bad judgment in your driving. Bad judgment as a worker. Bad judgment financially. Bad judgment in your relationships. Bad judgment in your spirituality. We could go on and on. You know, if I were you, I'd do this. I'd come back tonight to hear some more, because there's a lot in the Bible about it. I'd have no liquor in your home. I'd not want to be anywhere where they were drinking liquor. I would not go to shop. I would not go to the work parties if they had liquor at them. Right. Don't hate the boozer. Hate the booze. Right. Pray that they be saved. If you got booze, go home, pour it out. Get rid of it. Don't have anything to do with it. Somebody here needs to get right with God. Somebody here needs to get saved. You want the quickest way to get victory? Get saved first. Get the Holy Spirit of God inside you, and that spirit can overcome the evil spirits and that spirit of liquor. Tonight we'll talk about more. But let me remind you, the purpose and the intent of this sermon is not to hurt you as an individual. I am launching an attack on liquor. I love the children in this church, and I love the teenagers in this church. I love the people of this church. And if you love someone, you tell them the truth. Someone said, friends don't let friends drink and drive. Friends don't let friends drink. You know where I want to cut the snake's tail off? Right behind the ears. That's the best place. If you're here today and you have a problem with this, you're in the midst of friends. We're not your enemy. We're your friend. We'll help you. We'll help you. If you're here today and you're unsaved, I recommend to you Jesus Christ, the Savior. Let Him come into your heart and save you, and He will help you to overcome whatever it is that you need to overcome. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. First question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there somebody here today that would say, preacher, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I've got a problem in my life that I need to overcome, but I realize the problem is not my biggest need. My biggest need is salvation, and God, through Jesus Christ, can help me overcome my problem. Who here would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. And I'm not talking about you're a member of a church, because being a member of a church won't save you. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Who here would say, preacher, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me? Good. If you just raised your hand, this is what you do. In a moment, we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. The way that will work is like this. In a second, I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. They will. I'll ask us to stand. We will. I'll ask the choir to sing, and they will. The men on this platform will leave the platform and take a few steps down to your level. And when they get to the bottom level, they'll stand at the end of each aisle. They'll be there to meet you. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. You say to the person to the right or to the left of you, excuse me, you walk right down this aisle. You walk up to one of the men and you say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, or if you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, why don't you come? Somebody here needs to come, and you need to pray for a loved one, a friend, a son, a daughter, a husband, or a wife where the devil has gotten the best of them. You need to come and pray that they get rid of the liquor. There are a bunch of teenagers that ought to walk this aisle and on your face before God say, God, help me never to do that. Never help me never put first drink up to my mouth. God, help me never to do it. There's some adults in here that you need to come down here, get on your face and say, when I get home, I'm getting rid of it. The stuff I've got hidden that I wouldn't want everyone to see. Your wine for the special occasion, social drinker, you businessman, you think that you gotta tip martinis with the clients. Maybe you need to come down here and get it right. There might even be somebody in here say, I virtually am controlled by the liquor. I'm coming today to ask God to give me victory. You might even need to ask the church to pray with you about it. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has definitely spoken to my heart today. And you'll raise your hand and say, God spoke to me in a unique and a special way. You may put your hands down. If you're in the balcony, the lower floor, if you need this altar, you come. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need this old-fashioned altar, you come and use it. Teenager, maybe you just need to come and say, I'll never do it. God help me, I'll never do it. Very clear about it. Where are you, sir? Some man needs to walk this aisle and get yourself right with God about this. Some lady needs to walk the aisle and get yourself right with God about this thing. If you're not saved, why don't you come get saved? Some young person here, you've been experimenting with the beer, the alcohol. You need to get right with God today and say, I'll never, never again. God helping me, never again. There are those of you, you know what's sad? There are those of you, you lost your daddy to it, you lost a friend to it, and you're still kissing the bottle. You wake up. I love you, and I'm your friend, and I'll tell you, friends tell you the truth. Every parent in here, you need to stand firmly. Don't go home and justify the bottle in the fridge. Reason some of you have grown kids that are into it because they've seen it at your home. Now they're into the drugs. Grown kids grew up watching mom and dad nip at the bottle. And you justified it. Now they drink it. And I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. Might do you good to get right with God about it. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. He didn't turn it into fermented wine. You really don't know the Bible very well. Your ignorance is showing. Why in the world would he tell us it's wrong in one place and turn around and turn water into wine in another? That makes him a hypocrite. If he's a hypocrite, he's a sinner. If he's a sinner, we're all doomed to go to hell. He says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I think Jesus is not wise. Matter is, it was not a fermented drink. The word wine there is the word grape juice. You need this altar, you may come. Congregation.